Conversations with God, our prayer life. The first three of these classes, we've discussed our prayers as they go up to God, and we've looked at some situations in which, at least in one of the Psalms that we looked at that David himself wrote, those difficult times in our life when we lift up to God and perhaps talk to God in such a way that kind of bothers us because we're so direct, because we're so honest with God, but that we need to do that. And of course, the premise has been that if we're going to have a relationship with God, we must communicate with God. Last week, we looked at the story of Job, and there's going to be a section later I'm going to come back to that. But tonight, we want to shift gears for just a little bit and talk about God listening to us, or I'm sorry, us listening to God when He answers back. When I put up on the board, "Be still and listen," you know where I'm going with this eventually, right? There's a psalm. Which one is it? I know you know it. I know Debbie knows it because it's her favorite. And because it's her favorite, it's my favorite too, right? The 46th psalm. And we'll get there eventually. But I want to ask a question first. Who believes that they're a good listener? Raise your hand if you think you're a good listener. I actually expected more than that. I think I got three hands. That makes this next question kind of difficult then, because I was expecting 10 or so people to say we thought we were good listeners, and I was going to ask whoever you were here with, whether it was your friend or your spouse, I was going to ask the other party to say, are they speaking the truth? Are they a good listener? Do they listen very well? Because I think the answer probably was going to be, no, they don't. Do we find that to be a problem in our life? Do we find that whether or not we're talking to our spouse, or whether or not we're talking to someone that we're doing business with, or whether we're trying to buy something or sell something, or just get things done in one way or another, that someone doesn't listen to us? Have you ever said, I need you to stop. I need you to listen to me. It's the front right tire that needs to be changed, not the back left. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody's not getting exactly what it is that we're talking about. We all know people who ask and answer their own questions, right? You're in one of those conversations, perhaps, and someone's talking, and they just keep talking, and when they finally run out of something to say, they just turn around and walk off. And we never had a chance to even participate in that conversation. Why are we like that? What's the reason? Talk to me. Tell me. Why that at times, because a majority of you said you don't believe you're a good listener. Tell me why you're not. All right. Ophelia says that she thinks she's a good listener, but sometimes she doesn't remember what it was that she heard. Ophelia, that's just me and you being old, okay? Some of us have an opportunity. Some of us can listen better than others. Mickey?
Sometimes it comes with hearing loss. The person can't hear.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you, I guess, in a different way. Do we not listen well because we think that first we must be heard? Do we not listen well because we need to talk? Nicole said that she struggles to listen because she finds herself distracted by so many things that happen among us, to us, around us in today's world. And I guess that gets more to the point of what tonight's lesson is about than the other things we've talked about, because in the 46th Psalm, David says, "Be still and what? Know God." In other words, does God talk to us Sure he does. How? Well, we've got a whole book full. But do we get still and do we listen to what God has to say to us through that book? Do we just sit back at times and think, clear my mind and let God answer us in different ways? Not verbally. You understand where I'm going there. I'm not talking about God talking to us verbally. But do we give God time to act and answer? Do we sit back and clear our minds? Are we patient? Do we allow God time to work to see what that situation is that He answers and takes care of? And so I appreciate especially what Nicole, the way she put it, because I think that's a major problem with us. I know that sometimes someone will start talking and I'll start trying to answer their question before they get through. Why? Well, obviously I think what I've got to say is more important than what they have to say, right? I'm not going to say that Debbie's ever had to put up with that in her life, because I guess I would be telling on myself, but that we all have these occasions, whatever the reason might be, when we just don't hear well because we let other things get in the way. Now, can I talk about listening without talking about social media? I'm not sure that I can exactly. I have a question, and I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want to ask this question. Does social media dominate your life? I hope it doesn't, because there's a lot of good things about social media. How many posts does the church make? Does this church make, I mean, on social media regarding different things that are inspirational to us, that are important to us, that talk to us about remembering a particular scripture on how we lead our life and go about all the different things that we do? And so certainly there are some things that social media does well for us. But if I ask you the question and I said, which came first, narcissism or social media, how would you answer that? Well, I think the answer, right, it's the chicken and the egg. The egg came first, narcissism came first, social media came later and exploited it. But where does that leave us when it comes to the things that we go about in our daily lives and trying to focus on our God and how He answers us? You know, the Lord's brother had something to say about listening. And this is for us to listen. But it applies to God listening because obviously He does it this way. What does James chapter 1 verse 19 say about hearing? Pardon, Mickey? Be swift to hear. What's the rest of that? James chapter 1, 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The word that is used there in the Greek means fleet of foot, to be ready, to be fast to learn. Oh, well, if we said something learning about it, does that get in the way, by the way? Is it because we don't listen because we don't really want to learn? Because we're afraid that we might be told something that would illustrate that we struggle with knowledge in a particular area because we don't like to be told that we don't know something? We struggle with it. We struggle for a lot of different reasons. James talks about it. And if we're not swift to hear, we may be fast to speak and fast to wrath. And if we encourage wrath, or if we do something that encourages wrath, then that's certainly somewhere where God doesn't want us to be. Who had something to say about listening? Several things to say about listening that we would reflect upon and know that they come from someone who is certainly wise. I picked five different proverbs to look at just to talk about this issue of being still and listening. It's certainly not all inclusive of every proverb or every scripture that has something to do with listening. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Whose counsel are we looking to hear? Who could have us better counsel than God? Right? Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Do any of us like to be corrected? Probably not. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. I worry that sometimes I don't listen very well because I think somebody's fussing at me. Well, generally speaking, if I get fussed at, I probably deserve it. I need to do a better job of listening, especially to hear instruction that comes from God's Word and be wise about it. I need to wait and be still and listen to God talking to me. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. It's always hard, isn't it? But if we listen, if we truly listen, might we be convicted of something? We might. Does that make it extremely hard for us to listen to God sometimes? When we open up our Bible and we look at Scripture and we say, uh-oh, I got a problem there. Wait a minute. I'll just go read a different Scripture and avoid that one. Well, maybe we open that Bible up and just happen to fall upon that particular Scripture because God was acting providentially in our lives and said, you need to read this today. Has that ever happened? Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. And then Proverbs 22, verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. How do you incline your ear, by the way? We kind of lean over to one side, you know, put that ear towards someone to make sure that we hear what is said. This word actually means to pitch your tent. It was used that way in Genesis, talking about Abraham before he was Abraham, about Abram when he was leaving home and going on the journey that God sent him on. And this word translated, incline your ear, is used there when, I think it's the 12th chapter, when Abram is told to pitch his tent. Stop what you're doing, pitch your tent, stay a while, listen to what it is that God has to say. Interesting way of putting it, I think. When we pray, do we listen for God's response? Now that's the premise of this class, right? That's what we've been talking about. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we've got to have communication. Communication in a relationship implies two-way, not one-way. We talk to God. We pour our heart out to God. Those things that we've looked at for the last 3 weeks, pouring our heart out to our God. Do we give God time to answer the question? How does He speak to us? Well, here, right? Absolutely. And certainly we know that psalm that we're kind of leading to in this particular class tonight, the 46th psalm, in the 10th verse, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in all of the earth. David did not write this psalm, or we don't know. This is one of the sons of Korah, one of the ones we're coming to later tonight, David did write. But I've got notes that are in my Bible from a sermon that I heard, and I don't remember, I didn't give credit in my Bible to who preached it. But the lesson was they wanted me to take Psalm 46, and they wanted me to consider it in the context of King David and King Hezekiah. How much time did David, King David, spend running from Saul during Saul's reign? Do you know? How many times did Saul try to kill David? There are 14 of them listed in 1 Samuel chapter 18 through 1 Samuel 26. Did anyone need to be still and let God handle the situation? Who had been anointed king? David had been anointed the king. Saul was still on the throne. Saul reigned for 40 years. During that 40 years, he made repeated attempts on David's life. In Job chapter 42, last week, and I want to apologize to you for this because I did a poor job last week of finishing up the class. I got a little flustered when the time ran out and I wasn't where I wanted to be. And I really just left out a part of the class that I shouldn't have left out. But we go through all these things with Job. God asked these questions in chapters 38 through 41. In Job chapter 42, especially verses 5 and 6, Job responds to God. Remember, we talked about God did not answer Job's question of why these things have happened. Instead, Job looked at what God did say when God asked those 70 plus rhetorical questions. God, I understand. And God, and Job says plainly in chapter 42, I repent. I see you. I hear you. I despise myself. I repent in dust and ashes. When God tells us to be still, what does He mean? Does He mean just quit moving around? How are some of the ways that we can be still? How are some of the ways that we can let God speak to us, Joe? I'm gonna boil everything that Joe just said down into this. Quit being in such a hurry. Why are we in a hurry in our lives? Where do we have to be? Where really do we have to be? Who's retired, by the way? All right, you guys that are retired, where do you have to be? You guys that are still working, I'm going to cut you a little bit of slack because you do have to be somewhere a lot of times that somebody else tells you to be there. But are there times, whether we're working or not, when we get in a hurry and we can't get out of a hurry and we just need to slow down? I want to go back to the 46th Psalm and I want to go back to David's circumstances. In those 14 times in the 18th through the 26th chapter that David feared for his life, there was everything from throwing a spear at him to trying to fix up a marriage with his daughter so that he could send him to battle against the Philistines so the Philistines could kill him. There were situations in which he sent messengers to David. Messengers apparently was another word for assassins in that particular scripture. I send these messengers to him. What happened when they got to him? The prophets were there and they were prophesying. And what happened to the assassins that he sent? Well, they started prophesying too. Well, that didn't work. So Saul sends a second set of messengers. What did that second set of messengers do? They started prophesying. He sent a third group. What did they do? they started prophesying. God protected David, didn't he? What about towards the end, one of the last events that we have listed for us? Saul heard that David was in the area. He gathered up 3,000 troops. He went to chase David down. David heard that Saul was looking for him. David's out in the wilderness. Saul can't find him. Saul camps on the mountainside along with his soldiers. The scripture says that from across the valley, David saw Saul. Saul was camped. Saul was asleep on his bedroll in the middle. His army was circled around him. David had one of his mighty men with him. It was Abishai. David went into the camp of Saul, walked through all the soldiers while they slept, got next to Saul. Saul had put his spear in the ground by his head. What did Abishai tell David to do? You need to kill him. You need to let me kill him, and you need to do it right now. Because if you don't do it now, it's just going to come back and bite you again later. This is the second time that David's had an opportunity to take the life of Saul. He said the same thing this time that he said the first time. You remember what it was? That's right, Mickey. I will not lift my hand against God's anointed. In this particular circumstance, he tells Abishai, you know, God will take care of this in one way or another. Either his just end will come, God himself will take care of it, or he'll fall in battle. But we cannot do this thing and expect to be guiltless. If you were David and you had Saul continually looking after or searching for you, could you be that calm about it when you were there standing right by him? What did he do? He took the spear and he took a jug of water and he walked through the valley and went up on the opposite hillside, and then he called out to David. And he said, you know, I was right there. And Saul said, you know, you're a more honorable man than I am, David. What about King Hezekiah? And again, seeing this 46th Psalm in light of that story with David, or David's entire life, and how David was being chased and ran for his life. What about Hezekiah? Hezekiah was king of Judah. He was in Jerusalem. He was protected there by the walls of Jerusalem. What did Sennacherib, the general of the Assyrian army, do? He had already taken most of Israel captive. He had gone through Judah and had destroyed over 40 cities. He comes to Jerusalem and he says to Hezekiah, you need to let me in. You need to pay me tribute. Let me in the walls. Life will be better for you. You'll be able to live, because if you do not let me in, I'm coming over the walls myself and I'm going to take your life and everybody else's. What did Hezekiah do? Sennacherib, after he could not get Hezekiah to bend, sent a letter. And the letter said the same thing that Sennacherib, or his general, had been saying. You need to let me in. This is your last chance. If you don't let me in, it's not going to end well for you. What did Hezekiah do with that letter? He took it to the temple and he spread it out before God. What did God do with that letter, by the way? God read it, right? God read the letter. He went to Isaiah and he said, Isaiah, you need to go tell Hezekiah I'm going to take care of this. And so one night, shortly thereafter, Hezekiah goes to bed and there's 185,000 Assyrian soldiers sleeping outside the walls of Jerusalem. The next morning, what did Hezekiah find? The corpses of 185,000 Assyrian soldiers sleeping outside the walls of Jerusalem. Did God take care of Hezekiah? How difficult must it have been for Hezekiah to stop and let God handle this? There's another psalm that I want to look at, the 85th one, the 8th verse, or at least the first part of the 8th verse. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak with peace to his people and to his saints. God does not speak to us like he spoke to the prophets, who then spoke to David and spoke to Hezekiah and so on, but he does talk to us. I think that the biggest problem that we have is we just don't listen. God is talking. We don't take the time. And several of you have mentioned this. We're in too big of a hurry. We got to do this or do that. And we just don't take the time. When the first day of the week rolls around, where is our focus? And I don't mean, I'm not saying this to step on toes. I want to confess to you something that I used to do back in the day when I was a younger person, I guess, and didn't know any better. But do you know how many times that I've rushed out of the morning worship service, skipped lunch with the family, just to make sure I could get to the golf course and get 18 holes in before evening worship service? Now, where was my focus? It wasn't on the Lord, because I was that guy that I talk about all the time who's just checking the box. I thought everything was just fine if I checked the box that I had been there on Sunday morning and I got back in time for Sunday night. And in the meantime, I played 18 holes and I had a regular group. And all of us were actually Christians. That didn't make it any better, and I shouldn't laugh about it. None of us had the right focus. But I'm just talking about me being guilty. Where is my focus? Was I anything like being still? Did I want to hear God on that particular day? And in our life today, we get that way, don't we? It's not on God, it's on us. You know, I remember a time when there were very few businesses that were open on the first day of the week. Do you remember that? If you're older, you do. It was pretty much gas stations and convenience stores where I lived. And convenience stores had to put newspapers over half of the stuff because you couldn't sell everything on a Sunday. And it wasn't just an alcohol issue. It was various other things that you couldn't sell on Sundays. And today, Sunday's just like Monday through Saturday. It's hard for us to keep our focus. It's hard for us, pardon me, to be still and let God. What does the Scripture say about prayer? And I'm talking about our responsibility to pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You can quote that. Somebody quote it. Pray. It's only three words, right? Pray without ceasing. How do you do that, by the way? How do you pray without ceasing? Does that mean that you have to, every breath of every day, pray? There are other things that happen, right? Things that happen that we have to take care of. The answer is in the context. And the context around 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 also talks to our ability to be still and listen to God. Verse 16, to rejoice. What's the circumstances? I don't know what the circumstances are. What does God want us to do? He wants us to rejoice that we are Christians. Rejoice that we have a relationship with Him. You know, James talks about when all these bad things that happen in our life, we are to be thankful for them. And he says to count it as joy. Do we do that? Can we do that? That's kind of hard, isn't it? When something bad happens to us, wow, I'm glad that happened today. But With every bad thing that happens, is there something that good that can happen too? We don't know what the circumstances are when those bad things happen, but they can turn out differently. Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the prophecies. In other words, the Scriptures. Look at those Scriptures. Don't hold them in contempt. The Scriptures are not there to restrict us. The Scriptures are there to give us freedom. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. If we lived every day like this, would we listen to God? Could we listen to God? The world keeps getting in our way, though, doesn't it? It keeps knocking on our door, and it keeps trying to get in our way and cause us not to be able to do certain things. How much time have I got left? I've got 8 minutes or so? Okay. Thank you. Look at what David says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. I didn't proofread that slide, did I? I've got some words up there that are in like tiny print. Sorry about that. A fool's voice is known by his many words. There are times when we just cannot listen to God because we're too busy talking. We go to God in prayer. Do we open up and truly want God to come back and answer that prayer, or do we want to tell God how to answer that prayer? David makes it pretty clear here in Ecclesiastes that if we're known by too many words, we're in that category of being a fool. Turn to the 86th Psalm. Because this is one that David did write. And it speaks to us, and it speaks to us about this very issue. I can attribute this one, because I've got some of those same notes that are in my Bible about the 86th Psalm. But I know when I heard this particular sermon, because David preached it on December 24th of 2020. This is a psalm that has to do with David's request for God's attention. In the first 7 verses, David is asking for God to listen to him, please. In verses 8 through 13, David is asking God to be merciful to him. Verse 14 is a prayer for God to solve David's problems. And verse 17 is a prayer for God's deliverance. Look how this prayer starts. Verse 1, bow down your ear. This is David talking to God. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Is that the way we see David, by the way, as being poor and needy? I don't. But this is how David describes himself. This is one of those cases that David is exhibiting great humility, and it's something that we need to remember in a part of a problem. And we're going to look at another one, assuming I have time to get to it, the 131st Psalm, that says exactly the same thing. David, in his humble nature, is coming to God and said, please listen to me. I've got a problem. He identifies what that problem is in the 7th and the 14th and the 17th verses. In the 7th, he says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. He's having a struggle. In the 14th verse, he says, O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. And then in the last verse, he says, show me a sign for good, O Lord, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." What does David know when he prays this prayer? He knows that God is going to answer. He knows it as sure as he says the words. He trusts God with his life and has been for a long time at this point. In the things that David talks about, his plea from this 86th Psalm, he says, "Hear me, attend to me, answer me." That's what we want, right? That's why we're praying. We want God to answer us. We need to listen. He says, "Protect me, save me." There's another typo. That's supposed to be merciful to me. I need to do a better job of proofing my slides, that's for sure. "Lift up my soul, teach me, strengthen me, show favor to me." 13 specific things that he asked God to do on his behalf, and he knows that God's going to answer that question. Here's his premise. God, I trust who you are. God, I trust what you are. God, I trust what you can do. We don't listen sometimes simply because we don't want to take the time to be still. In the 131st Psalm, in the first two verses, "O Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul." In the 46th, David says, Be still and know God. In the 131st, he says, "I've calmed myself and I'm quieted my soul." I hope all of us are doing our chapter a day part. I think it's a great study. I find myself trying to hurry through it sometimes and not letting the words wash over me. We can go all the way almost or past what David wants us to do by being still, by just opening our scripture and not putting a time clock on that study. Thinking about it, praying about it, contemplating it. I'm not saying some days there are times when we need to get it done because something else is going to happen. But I know that I get a lot more out of it later in the day when I stop and think about that which I read that morning and give myself a chance to observe it. It takes a great effort to be quiet and to listen. But I want us to understand that once we focus on God, it takes away the focus from ourselves, and it shows God how deeply we love Him. And that's where we're trying to get to with this particular issue tonight of listening to God. Are there questions or comments about anything? We got a minute or so left. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We'll discuss this again next Wednesday night. And thank you for being over here. It means a lot to me. Say hello to Errol and Jesse Gower Winter, because they're back tonight. Yeah. Good to see you guys.